This is Sunday morning, November the 17th, 2019. This is going to be a shorter teaching, but it kind of on the heels of the last teaching. This is called Praise Equals Power Equals Glory. Praise equals power equals glory. There comes a time that after you have prayed and believed that the only thing left to do is to praise. It's your final thing. Praise confirms the covenant. By praising, you're agreeing with God that what you have asked for is already done and you're just waiting for the manifestation. It's as if a man goes to bed and gets up. Mark 4. He goes to bed day and night, the seed's in the ground, he's resting. It's like he went to the catalog store, ordered his drapes at JCPenney's, and then he goes about telling everybody, I got some new drapes, oh, they're just beautiful. Does he have them in manifestation yet? No, but he acts like he does. He's so excited about his catalog order. That's what praise does. By praising, you are agreeing with God that what you have asked for is already done and you're just waiting for the manifestation. Example, after I've asked for healing, no longer will I ask for healing, but I will say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, it's already done. See, when you go and order those drapes at the catalog store, as far as they're concerned and you're concerned, it's already done. It's taken care of. The process has been put in motion. Praise speaks present tense, already done. Not I'm going to. I'm going to. You know, so many people talk about, well, we even sang this morning, I know it's one of the songs where it talked about what he promises he'll do. We need to not sing that again, or we need to either blot that out of there, because that's not true. Because all the promises in God of God are already yes and amen. God hasn't promised anything. He's already done it. Old Testament promised. New Testament already done. So we need to view it like already done. I'm just going like we do. If you went anywhere to get benefits, you'd go up to the window and say, these are my benefits. I'm covered. Isn't it? Already covered. Not going to be covered, but already covered. My benefit package, it says right here that this is covered. If people would do that with the Word of God, they'd see results. Just like you see results when you take your book up to the window to tell them, it says it in the book, I'm covered. It says it in the book, y'all, this is paid for. Well, your healing's paid for. Not going to be, it is. It's like, it's already there. You can go get it anytime you want. All right. Praise speaks present tense, already done. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All God's promises are yes and amen. God speaks, already done. He's the one that calls those things that be not as though they were. I think we are usually short on this part of it. We get into looking to see if the symptoms are gone and what circumstances look like, and we walk that way and everyone knows that we are not doing so well. How you doing? Oh yeah, I'm victorious. Yeah, I got the victory. Yeah, you look like it. Your actions speak louder than your words. Everybody sees it on you. You're wearing it like a coat. God's way. God's way acts excited and is thankful that it's already done in the faith realm. This is Keith Moore's quote. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Let me read it again. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Praise is the kingdom way. I want to read you an example. This is faith food. Brother Hagin, anytime I start feeling like I need a boost, I get out this little book and start reading these stories of victory, and it just perks you right up. What's this one? I knew a preacher who had an outstanding healing testimony. In the early 1930s, when tuberculosis was rampant, he was raised up from his deathbed. He was a young man. He and his wife had a little baby, and it was discovered that the man had tuberculosis. He requested prayer from every church where he had ever held a revival. Every outstanding healing evangelist in the world laid hands on him, but he grew worse instead of better. Finally, he just came to the point where he couldn't go any longer. He became bedfast. He went to his in-laws' home to stay. They were farmers in Corsicana, Texas. One day as he was lying in bed, he looked out the window and saw a clump of bushes and trees about a quarter of a mile away from the house. He said to God, "If you'll give me enough strength to get up and get to that clump of trees, I'll pray until I get healed." Doesn't that sound the way we are? Let's pray and read, confess, till we get healed. He made an effort to get up, and he dragged himself to that clump of trees. Then he fell down exhausted, lying there on his back. The devil said, "Now you've done it. Nobody knows where you are. You're going to die right here behind these bushes. The only way they'll find you is when the buzzards lead them to you after you're dead." This was not the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, talking to this man. It was the voice of a stranger, the voice of the enemy, the devil. Thank God this man finally recognized this voice as the voice of the devil. While lying there in the grass, trying to get enough strength to whisper a prayer, this preacher started thinking about all the people who said they were going to pray for him. He figured that if they all prayed only 5 minutes a day, there's no telling how many hundreds of hours had gone up in prayer. He thought, "If all that praying can't get the job done, there's no use in me praying. I'm not going to pray at all. I'm going to lie here on my back and just praise God for my healing." He could have prayed and died. He would have been praying in unbelief. Prayer had already been made. He needed to change gears now. So instead of praying, he decided to praise God for his healing. Because his prayer had been answered, he started whispering, "Praise the Lord." It took all the strength he had to just get out a whisper. Then he seemed to get enough strength to raise his hands. An hour and a half later, he was standing on his feet hollering, "Praise God," so loud that someone heard him 2 miles away. He was healed. He said to me years later, "Whenever I have my lungs x-rayed, the doctors say you're the eighth wonder of the world. Did you know that you've got a hole in your lung and yet it's working? We don't understand it." I always say to them, "I've been that way all these years and I'm still in good health. I'm just going to keep on enjoying it." Here's a good confession. "I'm going to praise God for my healing. Thank you, Father, for providing healing for me. I'm so thankful that I'm no longer sick. I'm so grateful that I'm healed and whole." How much better would it be if we concentrated on saying that every time we had a pain or every time we saw something we didn't like, we'd say, "Lord, I just thank you that that's already done." Rest, quit wearing ourselves out. "Well, I better fast today. Oh, hadn't read my word today." I like what Joseph Prince says. "You shouldn't feel guilty because you didn't read your Bible today. You should feel hungry." The word feeds the spirit man. You should feel hungry, not guilty. That's what the Lord said to me this week. Once you've made the faith decree, you, like this man, you've got to change gears. And as far as you are concerned, as far as God is concerned, it's already done. The Lord of the harvest determines sometimes the length of time, but I think our harvest would come so much quicker if we just absolutely got focused on praising God that it's already done. We're saying, "We believe you. We believe you, Lord," instead of acting like we don't believe. "Well, I better read. I've been confessing for 2 hours." We get so religious, don't we? It's like Brother Capps used to say about, it's kind of like praying the rosary, isn't it? "Forgive me, Father, I have sinned. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary." Yeah, that's about as good as citing nursery rhymes. But praising God? The rudest thing in the whole world is for do something some nice for somebody and they don't even say thank you. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't praised you enough. I admit, I have not praised you enough. Oh, I'm reading the mail today. I knew I'd be reading the mail today because I was reading my own mail. The Lord's saying, change gears. It's time to change gears. Quit asking for healing. Quit confessing for healing. That's why I had me give you the warrior scriptures. Quit asking for healing and just confessing healing, 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 healing. Our finances. Read them scriptures on being a warrior and standing strong and receiving the answer. Build up your faith muscles. Praise me. Thank me. Okay. In this instance, it shows that there is a time to quit acting like you're sick and start acting well in whatever situation you're in. Wherever you're sick. Whatever area you're sick in. This man got a hold of the fact that praise was the key and it brought the glory. I remember a story of a woman that was ill and she was told, I couldn't remember who did this, you might remember who it was. She was told or saw a vision of two baskets. There was two baskets. One basket was empty, one basket was full of sickness. And she was told, I guess by the Lord or whoever in the vision, that when the praise basket was full, she'd be well. So she praised the Lord for 3 days and nights and she was well. I didn't know if that was Brother Hagin. I couldn't remember. But it brought the manifestation. All right, let's look at a few scriptures. Acts chapter 16. Since the Lord spoke this to me the first part of the week, every time I need to, you know, when I normally go confess or do something, I'm just saying, Lord, I just thank you so much that I'm healed. And I have, it just brings a rest. It just brings rest. Let me read something else right quick before we go on. Hebrews talks about entering his rest. That's the key. A person that's thankful, I believe, is a person that rests. This is Mark 4:26. It says, so the kingdom of God is as of a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. See, it's going to work automatically. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full grain in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. It's not about how much you can confess. It's not about how many hours you pray in the Spirit. I think it's your ability to rest and just be thankful. Okay, Acts 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain maid possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her master as much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. I mean, that's probably the best one in the whole, in the Word of God. A prime example of people in dire circumstances singing praises to God, and the power showed up. Okay, Psalms 8. You want to shut the devil up? Just start praising. As I told you earlier, the demons can't stand the name of Jesus. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. In Matthew, I believe it says, praise because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Praise steals the avenger, breaks his power. Praise breaks the power of the enemy. Praise gets you in agreement with God. When you believe God for something, what does praise do? I believe you. I believe you. Not what I feel or what I see. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter. Well, I have Numbers 21. Let's see what that is right quick. Numbers 21. Sometimes I remember what that is and sometimes I don't. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the Negev, heard that Israel came by way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. The Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the Sea of Edom. And the soul of the people was discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent, which the Lord didn't send, the devil sent, fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Many people of Israel died. So we see the difference, complaining. What complaining will do. All right, now, 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. All right. Neither let us put Christ to the test, as some of them also tested him and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. So we see what griping, unbelief, discontent looses. And we see what praise looses. Complain there means to express grief, pain, or discontent. To make a formal accusation or a charge. Oh, that's pretty strong. To pray and believe God that you're well and act like you're not is like saying, I'm charging God that he failed. Accusing God that his word isn't true. So you can say that when you complain because you don't see manifestation, you're saying that God is not doing his job and that his word is not so. It is a false accusation against him. Praise says, I believe God's word and I agree. Whatever you're facing today, praise will turn it around. Get in the habit of it. I'm going to read one other pretty long passage of scripture and we'll be done. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. All right, we're going to start with verse 1. Give me a drink here. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with the children of Ammon and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. You know, that's still ringing. I hear it, still hear it. Thank you. Verse 5, And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest now not thou over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt in it, and have built in it a sanctuary for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know ye what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And you know, I was thinking about even conservatives that act uncomely. I'm thinking, what would happen if we all showed up and we were just had our instruments and we were just praising the Lord? What would happen? And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, Hearken ye all, Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. The Lord just spoke something to me, and I had it earlier in the week. So much of the time when we're believing God, we're doing all our confessing and doing all our praying and all of that stuff, and it's like our works. But what does praise do? It makes the battle belong to the Lord. It's a transfer. And we're going to see this in this passage. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And all the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children. The Lord set ambushments. He told them to be still, stand still, believe, be still. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower and the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil from them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering their spoil. It was so much. See, the Lord wants to fight the battle. We're taking it on ourselves to fight the battle. I got to confess 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening. And I got to spend time praying. I got to do all these things. And it's on our mind all the time. That's a work, dear ones, today. That's a work. Our job is to say, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Praise equals power equals glory. What an insult to pray and ask and not to say thank you. It is absolutely rude. Complaining because we don't see what we want to see is rude. We need to not be rude to the Lord. He already says, yes! Petition granted! Yes!